Thank you, Sam, and we certainly are happy about the presence of all of you this morning. We have a lot of folks that are out for spring break, but we're certainly glad that all of you have come who may be visiting with us today. We certainly hope that you'll come again. You know, you and I live in a time when society is constantly changing. And may I add, not for the better. Thank you, brother. It's good to have all of you visiting with us this morning. Good to have Sam's mom and dad visiting with us this morning. And certainly it's good to have Carl Davis visiting with us and leading our prayer a moment ago. Carl is the son of Jim and Jane Davis. He is a familiar face to many of us, but maybe not so familiar to a number of you this morning. But we're surely glad that he's here. And all of you that may be visiting with us, we certainly hope that you'll come again. You know, it's great to live in Texas, is it not?
Amen.
By the way, Carl is from the second greatest state in the Union. That's Louisiana. But you and I are from the greatest state, I believe, in the United States of America. We still believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we know down in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was not the case. We know it's not the case in a lot of the states in this great union. Hollywood could perhaps dramatize the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in a great way. They're so familiar with all of the immorality and the filth of those two cities. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah actually is a story about a man named Lot. Lot. In the book of Genesis, chapter 19. I think one of the saddest statements in all the Bible is this statement that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah were actually wicked cities, and the sinfulness of those who lived there was really paramount. It was so enormous that they defiled themselves over and over again. And if you were to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 13 and read through that 19th chapter, you would find all of the events that lead up to the destruction of these two cities in ancient history. And when you read this, you will learn that the countdown to destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah builds through the book of Genesis 13 through 19. Now, do you remember that Lot had an uncle? And Lot's uncle was named Abraham. Abraham knew what was going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew the events that were taking place, the horrible ungodliness and the filth of those two cities, as I said, was known worldwide. Abraham was concerned about his nephew Lot, and so he begins to plead and bargain and, if you will, try to make a deal with Almighty God to spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's sake, for his own sake. And in Genesis chapter 18, verse 23 through 33, the story plays out this way. And Abraham drew near and said unto God, wilt thou consume the righteous right along with the wicked? He says, peradventure, that there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for 50 righteous that may be therein? That be far from thee to do after the manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. That is not like you, God, he says. That so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Jehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. But who am I but dust and ashes? Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 40 and 5. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be found there 40. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, O Lord, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet, but once again, peradventure, 10 be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And Jehovah went his way. As soon as he had left off the communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. But one of the saddest statements in all the Bible has to be this one. But he lingered. Lot lingered. In verse 16 of the text, the Bible says, in the very next chapter, and the men laid hold upon his head, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his 2 daughters, Jehovah being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all of the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. But Lot lingered in Sodom during the countdown. And the time came when the bargaining was over, and God destroyed Sodom. Do you realize that God often gives us warnings today? He does. He gives us a warning. And many of those warnings go unheeded by mankind. God tells us what is moral and what is right. And he tells us what is immoral and what is wrong. And it seems as though we have great difficulty comprehending the will of God. It's not so much comprehending the will of God. It is implementing the will of God and is doing what God's will really calls for. You see, when we reject Jesus Christ, God said, But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom, now think about it, folks, on that day of judgment than for you, Matthew 11 and verse 24. When you look at the horrible nature of the sins down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and then you look at today's society, and God says that when we reject Jesus Christ, that it's going to be better for Sodom than for us. Doesn't that tell you something? It does me. You see, Lot lingered. He lingered when it was time for decisive action. Abraham has been pleading with God in behalf of his nephew. Will you spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Even if we could just find 10 righteous souls, but 10 could not be found. It's amazing, isn't it, when you look at the few that really are saved. In a given society, it was only 8 during the days of Noah. And Jesus, by the way, said in the book of Matthew 7, verse 13, that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Lot lingered when his godly uncle was praying for him. You know, many people linger today when loved ones are praying for their soul's salvation. Lot lingered when heavenly messengers were urging him to come out of the filth and the degradation of that society, but he lingered. He lingered when the judgment of Almighty God was imminent, Genesis 19 and verse 13. And he lingered when he knew better than to linger. That's why the Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, according to James. You might say that if it were playing out in Hollywood, it would be something like this. Lingering was his biggest mistake. It would be the highlight in Hollywood. His biggest sin. But it was a sin that could not be erased. It was a story, actually, about a tragedy that could have been avoided. Lot was slow when he should have been quick. He was backward when he should have been going forward. He was loitering when he should have been in a hurry to do God's will. And he was cold when he should have been hot. But why? Why did Lot linger? That's a big question, isn't it? Lot lingered because he made an unwise choice early in life. Let me encourage our young people to think of the consequences of your life. Do you realize that just one serious mistake in your life could affect you for the rest of your life? He made a horrible mistake, wrong choice, and we're all faced with him every day. He was in love with the world. And in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and following, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, the immorality of our society today, and he says we're not to have a part in that. John says in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but they are of the world. But Lot found his fellowship with sinners. You might say he got mixed up in the wrong crowd. It was hard for him to leave his people. Such was the case of Ruth in Ruth chapter 1. Jesus said, if a man loves his father and mother more than me, he is not worthy to be called my disciple. Mark chapter 10. And you see, all of his treasures were down in Sodom. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven where it doesn't happen. And I guess you could say that Lot really in his mind felt he was too old to start over again. And he had made Sodom his home. It was home. People get comfortable with home, good or bad. You might say the story of Lot and his family is a story of what could have been. What could have been. Sometimes we see certain situations in today's world and we look at those and we pity those people who made those unwise choices in life that resulted in their downfall. It might have been, could have been. And Lot's wife, by the way, the scripture says, looked back upon the ruins of those ancient cities and disobeyed the will of God. God said, you get away, go to the mountain. Don't stay in the plain. And don't you look back. I don't know why she looked back. Maybe that's where her heart was. Maybe that's where she longed to be. But the Bible says, because she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Genesis chapter 19. But that brings us to another question this morning. Why is it so dangerous for us to linger? Well, first of all, because if you want to make it applicable to us today, it is because the future is uncertain. None of us knows the future. You can't really look into a crystal ball and determine what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen today, or next year, or in days to come. The future is uncertain. James says your life is as a vapor that appears for a little time, and it vanisheth away. James chapter 4 and verse 14. And for those of you that would say we're going to go into the city and buy and sell and get gain, you better say, if it be the Lord's will. Why is it dangerous to linger? Because your heart becomes hardened. Let me tell you about a hardened heart. What do you mean when you talk about a hardened heart? Let me see if I can illustrate for you. You know what a hardened heart is? A hardened heart is one who has heard repeatedly the will of God over and over and over again. And you have heard it time and time again. And you've resisted the will of God to the point that when the Word of God is read, it doesn't touch you, it doesn't convict you, it doesn't move you, it doesn't stir your heart, it doesn't arouse within you the desire to be like God wants you to be. And your heart becomes so calloused over, like Paul would write to Timothy, as an iron would sear a garment. Hardened heart. Seared conscience. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And I guess you could say probably the message that we find in this story in Genesis 13 through 19 is this one. Don't wait. Don't wait. There are souls who will be lost in a devil's hell because they wait too late. Too late. That brings me to another question. Why are so many lingering today? You ever thought about it? They know more truth than they live. John 8 and 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And John 12, 48, he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. They know more truth than they're living, and they linger. Many of them believe that they long for heaven. In one sense, they believe in it. They believe it's there. But they really don't desire to go there. Not really. For Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you really want to go to heaven, why don't you live like you want to go there? Well, they know the time is short. But they live as if it's long. I've told you before that I have preached funerals for young children, teenagers, killed in accidents. Some of them who died of natural causes. They expected to live a long life. But it came to an abrupt end. There's no promise of tomorrow. And one of the real tragedies is that people often build their lives around things that are below. That's why the book of Romans chapter 12 so encourages us with these words in verse 1. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. You know, people are so wrapped up in conformity today. We want to be like everybody else instead of being like God wants us to be. Being like everybody else doesn't get you into heaven, folks. That gets you into hell. That's why in the Old Testament, the man of God said, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, and my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." So Hosea said. Many people understand the battle that we face, but they turn right around and they consort with the enemy. They do. 1 John chapter 2. You know, sometimes you have to back away from consorting with the evil. Sometimes heads of state go along just to get along. I think that's what we see happening in our world today with Mr. Putin and Mr. Obama. You tolerate evil? Do you? Do you negotiate, continue to negotiate with the enemy? Let me tell you something. This word right here is never, never has been, never will be on the table of negotiation. And people who tell me they understand the battle, but then they go and negotiate with the enemy. And they consort with the enemy. They say that they love Jesus, but they don't live for him. And Jesus taught in the book of John, the 14th chapter in verse 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And down in verse 17, he even went further than that, for he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But let me tell you another thing about this story of Lot. There are causes of delay, and the results and the consequences of delay. Sometimes one of the causes happens to be that many of us are like the rich man who let money control them. Now, believe it or not, there are a lot of people in this world who are controlled by the wealth of the world, by money. You've heard people say that money controls everything. It does with a lot of folks. Many are like the foolish virgins, of which Jesus alluded to in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, who were only half prepared for the wedding. They're like Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, who was almost persuaded to become a Christian. Do you realize that we don't know that he ever heard the gospel again? You ever thought about that? This may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel again. You may never hear it again. What would you do with it if you knew this was your last time to hear it? Many are like Felix, who wait for a convenient season, Acts 24, verse 24 and following. Some people say, "Well, I want to become a Christian, but it's just not real convenient for me right now. We have plans after church. We're going to go eat with someone." "I didn't come prepared today to be baptized, and so it's not real convenient for me at this moment." Becoming a Christian is not about convenience. It is about conviction. You see, God does his part to keep us from destruction, just as he did with Lot. He gave him his word. And you know what? God gives us his word. His word is truth. His word is absolute. And he said again, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him of the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He gave Lot his providence. Matter of fact, Abraham let Lot make a choice as to where he would live and where he would go. When the problem arose between Lot's servants and Abraham's servants, Abraham the uncle said, "Lot, we're going to give you the first choice." And the Bible says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. I wouldn't live in the state of California if they paid me millions. It has been called the land of fruits and nuts. I want to be in this great state of Texas, where we still believe in integrity and credibility and honesty and sincerity and morality, by and large. God provided a lot. He gave him his word. His servants, two heavenly angels, pled with him to get out. And I'm thankful for people who plead with us to obey God and be faithful. You may get angry with the one who delivers the message, but don't you ever get angry with the message. The question this morning is, are you lingering? It's not really so much about what Lot did. Can't change that. But I know one thing. When we linger, neither time nor death nor the judgment lingers and waits for us. For Jesus again said in Matthew 11:24, "But I tell you that it will be more tolerable and bearable for Sodom on that day of judgment than for you." Some people wait for that convenient time. Will you wait until the time is convenient? Will you wait until you're old? You may think, "I have many more years left before me." You may die today. You may have a disease that is eating away at your body right now, and you may not even know about it. You may be on the verge of a heart attack, and you have no knowledge at all of what's going on in your vessels or in that organ that pumps blood through your body. Will you wait until you're sick? Or will you wait until your conscience is pricked more? By the way, what would it take to prick your conscience? What would it take to prick your conscience? Someone said, "Don't wait for the perfect moment, but make the moment perfect. For you see, you might just, well, you might just wait and linger too long." Waiting to become a Christian is dangerous to your soul. When you realize that you have not confessed Christ and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are lingering as Lot did, and you are lingering in the face of death, and you are taunting it. And rededicating your life to Jesus Christ when you have been unfaithful is of great importance and prime importance. You know, I'm so thankful for people through the years who have encouraged me I'm thankful when I was a young man and could have easily gone astray that there were those who brought me to Jesus and saved my soul. Many years ago in England, there lived a preacher by the name of John Holden. One afternoon, in the village where he lived, everyone began to run to the seashore to man rowboats to go out into the sea where a vessel had capsized. Little boat after little boat would go out and do their best to bring to shore those who had been thrown into the icy waters. When the last rowboat was coming in, John Holden, standing on shore, called out to the rowboats, Did you get the last one? The reply came from the little boat. I think there's one more, but I can't find him. John Holden began immediately to prepare to go out in his own little boat. His mother grabbed him and said, "Oh, son, it's so dark and foggy. Don't go out there because you may never come back." And John Holden looked at his mother and said, "Mother, I love you, but I have got to go out there." And after what seemed to be a long, lengthy period of time, John Holden's little rowboat could be seen throughout the night and the fog. Someone shouted out to John and said, "Did you get him? Was there one more out there? Did you get him?" To which John said, "Yes, I got him. And tell my mother it was my brother." If someone has encouraged you to become a Christian, and someone has encouraged you to become a child of God, you be eternally thankful and grateful. I'm not so sure Lot was, because the angelic messengers of God had to drag Lot out of that city. I'm not sure he was ready to go. Lot did wait too long. He did. As I said, it's a story of what might have been. Lost his wife. Eventually lost his children. The message of Genesis 19 is don't make that same mistake. Why? Is because your eternal home hangs in the balance. It does. That's why if you're not a Christian, you're making a serious mistake by lingering and waiting and procrastinating and putting off what you know you need to do. But this morning, as we traditionally do, we'll sing a song of invitation. The messengers and angels of God here this morning will sing. We won't rush out and grab you by the arm and pull you down the aisle as they did with Lot to drag him out of the city. But we'll sing to encourage you, to move you, to do what you know you ought to do in your own heart. And if you're not a Christian this morning and you choose to obey God and accept Him without lingering, I hope and pray that you will. And I hope and pray that you'll yield yourself to be immersed in water baptism this morning for the forgiveness of sins. We still believe in preaching the old gospel. And if you're one who needs to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, then don't wait. Tomorrow may be too late. Let us stand and let us sing.